Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Signs of Life radio show, the Medium Insights Hour. Brought to you by the Forever Foundation, Forever Family Foundation, and Signs of Life Radio. So we gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished mediums related to the study of the consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I'm very excited to welcome Joanne Gerber to the show. Joanne is a gifted, internationally recognized psychic medium known for her natural ability to bring through evidential messages from those in the spirit world. As a medium, Joanne has demonstrated her abilities as a clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, attuning herself to higher frequencies, along with the effort of those in the spirit to allow the spirit communication to take place. She's also a research medium at Winbridge Research Institute, and is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation and a member on its medium advisory board. She's an ordained spiritualist minister, and she lectures, teaches classes, has workshops, holds demonstrations throughout the both live and throughout the world and online. And her web address where she can be, where you can set up appointments, get a hold of her, is joannegerber.com, joannegerber.com. So as always, as for quite some time actually, our commercial free shows are going on, so no interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet or loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Joanne, just a couple of special announcements. Like I always do, Bob's book is still available on Amazon, The Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those who claim to communicate with the dead. It's a really amazing book. I would highly suggest that you get it. And of course, you can always see the Netflix docuseries Surviving Death, which is now streaming, featuring Bob, the late Fran, and the Forever Family Foundation mediums, or many of them are on there. And it's a really, really well done show. And by the way, tonight's show is for research and information only, so your questions are always welcome, but keep in mind that no readings will be done tonight, okay? So please do not call in with the readings. That's for a different show. So for the several past shows, probably for the last half year or so, we've come up with a format where we've been bringing up questions that you guys come up with, our listeners, and it's been very successful. So if it ain't broke, we're gonna keep going with it. So we're going to read some questions that were sent in by email. And also, if you do have any questions, please dial 1-888-627-6008. All right. So, hey, Joanne, welcome to the show.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Roman. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, last time we spoke was, I think, back in September.
Yeah.
Months have passed by, and wishing you a happy new year, wishing our listeners a happy new year. Yeah.
This is, and 12 of you as well.
Thank you. Yeah. I think, I hope, 2022 is going to be better than 2020,
I hope so.
or 2021 for that matter. But,
Yes.
So far, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we have to keep thinking positive, right? I mean, every day goes by, we learn more individually and collectively, and it's all part of the divine plan. So,
yeah, I hear you. Are you what part of the globe are you in, or the United States?
I'm right outside of Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. That's right. Boston. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. And You guys getting a lot of snow over there?
Not really. We got a little bit last week, but then it got very cold and warmed up and then got cold. So typical New England weather, you know, we could have 80 degrees one day and snow the next. So kind of get used to the erratic weather in New England.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Hey, you know what? We're going to start off the show with a caller. We got a caller right away on line one.
Oh, good.
We have a Steve from San Francisco, California, on line one. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You got a question for Joanne?
Yeah, I had a question about photographing orbs during mediumship. I might mention my background. I go back 25 years to International Ghost Hunter Society, and I used to do go on haunts and take photographs of orbs, and I've also taught some ESP. And I have a question. It has to do with whether a medium is reading a person's mind with ESP, or whether they're actually reading the spirit. Now, I've done a lot of spirit photography, like my deceased wife. I've had several photographs, of her orb with flash camera. I've actually been able to ask her to pose at a certain place, and I got a photo of that. So my question is, if someone questions whether you're reading the spirit or you're reading the mind of the person there, why not have people bring in flash cameras and actually shoot flash pictures of the ceiling just to see if they can catch the orb? Now, the downside would be they'd be disappointed if there wasn't an orb. And so I was just wondering about what the difference between orb, reading an orb, or reading what you call frequencies. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Good question.
Good question.
So that's like almost a 2 or 3 part question. So let me go back to your question about whether we're reading the mind of a person when we're doing a reading. So psychics don't really read minds. People think we do read minds and that we know all your thoughts and everything that's going through your mind, but that's not a true statement. We've been referred to as being mind readers, so to speak, but it's actually not what a psychic does. When a psychic is working with somebody and doing a reading for them, they're reading their energy. So what they're actually tapping into is their auric vibration or the electromagnetic field around them, which contains information about their life, their past, could be past in this lifetime, past lives, their present, what's going on now, and of course what they can see coming forward based upon reading their energy. So we're not actually reading your thoughts or your mind. We're actually reading your energy. And of course, that energy does consist of your emotions and maybe things going through your mind, and things can be picked up in your aura, the energy of your aura, even information sometimes about loved ones that are passed. That's why I like working indirectly mostly for the most validation when I read for people, because when I go directly to somebody in a live audience, it's like I'm going directly to their aura, and I may pick up information on a psychic level, but that doesn't validate the existence of the spirit or spirit communication. So when a medium connects with a loved one that's passed on or a spirit, they are connecting with the energy of a loved one who no longer has a physical body. They're not communicating necessarily with the person that's having the reading. That would be more of a psychic reading. So I always say my spirit, my body connecting to the spirit in another person's body is a psychic reading. And my spirit, my body connecting to a spirit who no longer has a physical body, a discarnate, is a mediumistic reading or spirit communication. It would be interesting if people could take pictures while they're having a reading. I don't know, you know, how that would work with the energy. I don't know if an orb is guaranteed to show up through a photographic process every time somebody has a reading. I can't guarantee. I don't know the data on that. I don't know if that's anything that's been tested. You know, but I do believe in orbs. People show me orbs all the time. I have seen some very profound images myself of my own loved ones passed on through photography. But I always tell people, you know, I mean, I know that you have had experience with this, Steve, but other people don't, and they just have dust on their lens, and they just think they're seeing, you know, they're capturing photographs of spirit. So I think with the right eye and the right mind, we can make a good discernment as to what is really spirit energy and what might be something else. And I think that's really important that we rule out, you know, the could-bes and the possibilities so that we know that we're actually capturing the energy of the spirit loved one. I think orbs can definitely be photographed during readings or demonstrations of mediumship. I don't see that that wouldn't be validating, but I do feel the best validation of communicating with loved ones past is the evidence of communication. The information that a loved one could speak about that can't be found on the internet or within that person's aura necessarily. It might be things that they've done, you know, since their loved one passed, or shared memories, or the loved one that's passed expressing their personality, their hobbies, things they like to do in this lifetime, things that would only come from the actual spirit.
Okay, that's good. I have one question on that. If you're reading an aura within a person, does that mean that the spirit has actually moved into their body in order to get a good reading, and you're reading the energy of the spirit surrounding them like an envelope or something?
So, like I said, the aura of a person here alive in the physical, if you're reading their aura, you're tapping into their psychic energy. When I read the aura of a discarnate, a loved one that's passed, then I'm reading the energy of that loved one that's passed on. So there's two different energies. That's why we have different types of readings. Like, one is psychic, which is tapping into the personal energy of the person, their electromagnetic field, their aura. And then the second would be spirit communication or mediumship, which is connecting with the energy or the aura of the presence of an energy of a loved one who's passed on. So when we're tapping into someone's own energy, we're actually reading them psychically. Of course, they may have memories too, or information in their aura that could be picked up, and it could be taken as, well, maybe this is psychic. But that's why the evidentiary part of what we do is so important, because we want to rule out that we're actually communicating with the physical mind or the physical body of a person and obtaining information. We want to be sure that we are connecting with the aura of the discarnate where the information is coming from.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ann. Great answer. Thank you.
You're very
welcome.
Thank you,
Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Have a great day, Steve.
Thank you.
So before we have another caller, but before we get to that caller, I just want to touch on orbs, because one of my most amazing experiences was with an orb. 3 months after my 5-year-old son crossed over, I was at a christening in Yonkers, New York, and a person took a picture of me arm in arm with two other people, family members, and I'm wearing a sweater, and this orb appeared right over my heart. And I'm going, there's something to this orb. And we blew it up, and a face started appearing on it. And I sent it over to my uncle, who's a graphic artist, and he did this thing called a dodge and burn. And that's where you take the pixelations and you just enhance them in terms of contrast without adding or subtracting anything. And this beautiful image of my son's face with angel wings was right embedded in that orb. It's the most amazing
thing I've
ever seen. Yeah.
That is fabulous.
Forever Family Foundation has a record of. I sent it over to them, and to this day, I mean, I look at it every day. It was just such a big meaning to me, because it was exactly my son's face with angel wings on that orb. There was nothing. Camera didn't have a flash. Nothing. There was, and it was a sweater that are non-reflective. It just appeared right.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah,
it is. Anyway, it's so profound to have that experience, especially if we're believers. We still need the validation.
Of course.
You know, even for my own loved ones, I always ask for validations. I know they're around me all the time. Of course, I totally believe in it. But, you know, I want them to show me signs, too, especially when I'm in need of some guidance. And it's a wonderful validation. And that's fabulous that you got that validation, Roman.
Such a big one.
I mean, sure.
Often, but that was that was the granddaddy of them all.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Yeah. I had an aura reading myself, and I was down at visiting Cape Cod in Provincetown about 10 years ago. And this woman had now the auras that you get, if you want to get an aura picture taken, that you put your hand to a machine and it's like a biofeedback machine. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it records your energy, and it comes out in colors and shows your chakras and the human energy system with a whole report to go with it. But this woman was using the old fashioned Kirlian photography, which is the original aura camera. And in that image that she took of me, of my aura, right next to me was a round face, perfectly round, with my dad's face in it. And it was just after he passed. And I wasn't, you know, expecting it. I wasn't looking to make any connections. He just showed up.
It's when you don't expect it.
Yes, I know. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of people don't see signs either, because they're expecting them to come in a certain way. Yeah. And when they don't, they think, oh, I'm just imagining things, or that couldn't be him or her doing this or that. But, you know, sometimes it can be very subtle. It can be a very gentle or unexpected sign, and they're always around us, I do believe.
Well, absolutely. So we got another caller. We have Julie from New York on line two. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Can you hear us?
Hi, Julie.
Yeah. Hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
You got a question for Joanne?
Yes. So, I guess my question is, like, if you keep, you know, asking for sign, and, you know, I usually, like, will look at my mother's picture. My mother passed 4 years ago this Monday.
I'm sorry.
If I stare at her picture and I say, please give me a sign, I feel like sometimes she'll come in my dreams. Or there was one night that I felt her arm, like I felt like somebody touched me on my arm. I felt that a few times. And like you were saying about imagining it, like, is that imagined or is that real? When you were saying before about when they think of us or they could see us, you said they just really feel our energy. They can't, you know, if we're thinking of them, they don't know that. Or, you know, like when you say
they do,
know our
actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when they come, when you're really thinking about them mostly? Or?
Yes. Well, I do believe that that's the way we communicate with our loved ones, because in our thoughts, in our mind energy, that when we think about our loved ones, that those thoughts are infused with love, right? The emotion of love. And the way that our loved ones communicate with us is with their energy and with their love. And in quantum physics, we know that energy doesn't die, but it does transform. And energy is one of the most powerful energies in the universe, because love is the energy that we use to send prayers and healing to people. When we're thinking good thoughts of people, when we care about people, it's all positive energy. And even though, you know, your loved ones aren't here in the physical, their spirit contains that love, that their spirit, their energy, their survival of consciousness, as we call it, contains that energy, the intelligence, the memories, the personality of the person, and the love. So when you're thinking, I always find that when you're thinking of a loved one, that they're also thinking of you. And we may not always recognize that, because, you know, honestly, we don't come into this life necessarily wired to look for spirit and look for discarnates, to whether it be people or animals on the other side, to communicate with other beings. We don't really learn to do that. We have to seek it out and kind of learn how to do it ourselves. That's why a lot of people will take classes for that reason, because they want to explore that. And people talk about having a gift to be able to communicate. But, you know, it's not just for mediums. We all have the gift. We just have to decide if we want to open it and when we want to open it. For myself, I didn't start to explore this till my mid-30s, even though I was curious my whole life. But I actually started to go into classes, and I joined a spiritual church where we support communicating with the afterlife. So I found the resources so that I could learn. And I read the books and took classes and educated myself on what this is all about. Because I always find that if you can understand something, You know, if you can understand something that you didn't understand before, then you can detect the presence of spirit once you understand how spirit works. You may be more open to receive signs. And I think talking to the picture of your mom is a great idea. I know a lot of people do that. That's their way of communicating. I do it myself. You know, I'll walk by a picture of family members or past and say, you know, I love you and I know you're around me and thank you for being with me. Thank you for working with me. I always feel that my loved ones work with me with the work I do for others too, that they're kind of like my spirit team on the other side. Mm-hmm. People really don't know what to expect when you say you're going to get a sign from your loved one. So watch for the sign. A lot of people don't understand what that might be. It could be something very subtle. Like for me, my loved ones send me hearts a lot. So I could be walking my dog and find a heart-shaped rock. Or I found like a heart-shaped coin, heart-shaped stickers. And I have a whole altar full of all my little findings that I know were signs from my loved ones. It could be just moving an object, something light, a piece of jewelry. Or, you know, you come back to your desk and the picture has turned a little bit. You know, they're able to move small objects and do things like that as signs. Also, other signs that are more broader would be like, you know, birds and winged insects and winged creatures and things like that, that a lot of us will look up to the sky or look out our window and feel like that's a connection with a loved one, like cardinals, things like that. They become kind of like an iconic symbol for signs from loved ones. Not that everybody receives signs that way. Sure, some of us do, but others receive it in different ways. It could be a song that comes on the radio. We're thinking of them and a song comes on with their name in it or something, or a song that was connected with them, with you and them. They always find a way to communicate. If you believe in it, I always say, if you believe, you will receive, because it's hard to receive signs when you don't believe in it or you don't know what to really look for. You know, I always try to rule out all the possibilities. Like, you know, when I receive signs that is there any other way this could have happened? You know, I try to analyze a little bit because I still look for proof. Even after all these years of doing readings for almost 25 years, I'm still looking for evidence. I'm still always wanting to get that evidence. If it's not for somebody else, it's for myself.
Have you ever used a pendulum?
I'm sorry. Did you? I lost you there. I'm sorry.
Have you ever used a pendulum?
Yes, I have. But I don't use a pendulum for readings. I don't use any tools. Most mediums don't use any tools of divination to connect with loved ones. For yourself, I think, you know, you can use whatever you feel comfortable with. A pendulum, I find, is useful in answering psychic questions. You know, should I buy this car? Should I date this person? You know, as long as you've established and have a firm yes or no answer and you trust, you know, you've properly set up your pendulum the way that you should, and not just grab a pendulum and let it swing and decide that if that's going to be a yes or no. You really have to kind of program the pendulum for your yes and no answers first. But I don't use a pendulum to connect with loved ones. I think the best way is just to send it out in thought and just trust it. Mm-hmm. You know, send it out there. And they know, because I do feel they live in almost like a parallel universe where they're on the other side. They're learning and growing, connecting with their loved ones that have passed and their animals that have passed too. And then they're also watching over us like guardian angels, because that's what their love is. Their love surrounds us, and they try to protect us, and they try to assist us in the things that they can assist us with. And if they can communicate and let us know and give us a sign, they will absolutely do that. And signs come many ways, like in dreams too, and not just material objects that you might find out when you're out for a walk, but, you know, it can be, like I said, what I mentioned before, birds and different things, rainbows. It could be just something you don't see ordinarily every day. I think that's the key. It's not something ordinary.
Right, right. I mean, I've gone as far to say, like, send me a purple snake or, you know, this car, and it's come. It's, like, strange. It's, like, all of a sudden I'll see a commercial on TV, or I'll see it on, like, or Facebook, and I'm like, wow, you know? Like, I'll ask.
What you say, what's the chances of that happening, right?
Exactly.
That's what I always say. What's the chances of that happening? You know, let me rule out the ordinary because this is something very extraordinary.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Definitely.
And usually they send signs when we, you know, when we most need them, even when we don't ask for it. We could be going through a difficult time, or and they'll send a sign, and there's no denying the sign that they sent, something undeniable. Because they just know, you know, they want us to heal. They don't want us to be sad. They want us, you know, to go on with our life. They know how much, they know what we're going through, and, you know, they miss us too. Because that's part of the love energy, is missing somebody when you're not around them, when you've lost somebody. Part, that grief that we go through when we lose a loved one is what we experience, but we, but our loved ones don't want us to be in grief for the rest of our lives. They want us to they want to help us to heal too, because they want to let us know that they're okay. And I think that's one of the biggest questions when somebody passes. Are they okay? Where'd they go? And are they okay?
Yeah. They miss us as much as we miss them, because they see us. We don't see them. I mean, unless you're a medium, of course.
Yes, I do believe, absolutely. You know, they want to be with us here, but they know they're not in the physical anymore. And they know the only way they can communicate is when you ask for signs, and they can produce signs for validation, or, you know, maybe we have dreams of them. Dreams are a wonderful way people communicate with their own loved ones that are passed.
Okay.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for your call. Very great question.
No, thank you. I appreciate her. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Have a great night, Julie.
You too. You too.
Okay.
Thank you.
So our phones are really lighting up here. We got a Tim from Pennsylvania on line one. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, both Roman and Joanne. So just following up on the previous call, and my wife, who is not one to dwell in cemeteries, she doesn't like to talk about death. It probably scares her at some level. The only time after her aunt or her aunt, her grandmother passed away, was several years after she went to the cemetery. And very shortly thereafter, she's going through spare change in her pocket. And she says to me, look at this, look at this. Her grandmother was born in 1899 and she collected Liberty dimes, which weren't made in 1899. But in my wife's pocket change is an 1899 coin that is silver that looks like a dime. We investigated. It was actually a penny. It wasn't an Indian head penny, and it was before Lincoln pennies were made, but it was actually silver. And it absolutely looked almost like brand new, and it was over 100 years old. My wife has asked me, and so I thought I'd take the opportunity to ask you folks, and again, following up with the previous call, what could possibly be a mechanism where somebody could get a dime like this to my wife, or a penny, really, that would indicate that this is clearly a message from her grandmother? How do they do this?
Well,
reports.
And you know, we don't always know how it exactly happened, or when it was slipped into your pocket, or, you know, we don't really know when it happened, but we know however it happened, they're able to move small objects, like Roman just said, ports and things like that. But you know, we don't know when it happened. I mean, a lot of these things we don't have a logical explanation for, a lot of it, because we really don't exactly know all the information. We don't really know exactly to say, you know, this is exactly how this happened. You know, we don't know that, but we do know the oddity and the rarity of that coin appearing, and the connections with the coin and the year and your wife and her grandmother and all that. I mean, I have no doubt that's a sign. And like I said, sometimes signs happen unexpectedly, you know, it's not what we expect. for instance. You know, yeah. We're expecting like a certain specific sign, like, okay, if my loved one's around, I'll see a rainbow today. And it could be snowing out. Most likely you're not going to see a rainbow if it's snowing. So how are you going to see a rainbow? But you might find that coin in your pocket somehow.
Yeah. You can also, instead of asking, how did this happen? You can ask yourself, why did this happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. After my dog passed, I found nickels all over my house. And that was the first time I've ever experienced as my first dog. I had just begun this, you know, profession. And I was becoming aware of signs and looking for signs. And I've never received such strong signs from an animal that's passed. If we know that humans can communicate signs, but animals can too. You know, and that just goes to show the power of intelligence, even after the survival of the change called death. You know, that never truly leaves the energy.
Well, thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome.
I have a second question, so I don't know whether there's time for that or not. Is there a brief, quick question?
Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So I believe the person's name is Ian Stevenson. Is a gentleman that's done a lot of research on
reincarnation,
past lives,
past life, yes.
And he, and one of the questions that I would have of somebody who's experienced medium such as yourself is, are you aware, or have you had any experience in dealing with these fairly young children who claim to have had a past life and have, in essence, done a reading for them in which personalities that they knew in the previous life have come through?
So I have never done a past life regression with a young child. Sometimes information about past lives do come through in a reading. They just randomly come through. But the right way to really explore a past life would be to go through a past life regression, which is done through hypnotherapy. And I used to do that when I was a hypnotherapist. I did experience past lives with adults. I didn't work with children specifically. So, but I do believe, because I have had many clients with children, and they told me stories that the children told them about, like, their great grandparents that passed away way before they were born, and they didn't even know what they looked like. And these children were talking about the kind of house they lived in and the kind of work they did, just as if they were doing a reading, you know, giving a reading from a loved one that's passed on. Whether they spent a past life with them or they're connecting with the other side, that's to be determined. But I do believe in past lives. I absolutely believe in it. You know, reincarnation and past lives and all that is something that doesn't, not that the spirit talks about normally in a session, at least when I do readings. I was just talking about this in my class, saying, well, if somebody knew that their dad was reincarnated and he was the guy working at Starbucks down the street, and somebody said that's in a medium, or somebody said that's your dad, you know, he's come back to life, I think that would be a little bit kind of odd and feel kind of funny for the client. And we couldn't really validate that. If we can validate something, then people can believe it, but it has to be validated. And I think the information, and of course, going back to Dr. Brian Weiss with his book, Many Lives, Many Masters, he tapped into all that too. There's many, many authors now and scientists that have written about that. But I think, you know, it definitely exists. And I think it's very real. Especially like with children, because children, they don't have really any filters, you know, and they'll just talk and they'll describe things just as it's coming into their mind. So it's very pure in most cases. And I do find a lot of that evidence is received from children that have experienced past lives.
And Tim, you might want to check out the works from Jim Tucker. He was a student of Stevenson, and he continued his work and has done so much research into all of that. So look up Jim Tucker.
Actually reading his book now.
Okay.
Actually reading the book by him now. So, Yeah, that's why this was on my head. Thank you very much, both of you, and Happy New Year to you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and Happy New Year too as well. Take care.
All right. So, thank you, Tim. So we have another caller. We have somebody from Hawaii on line 5. We have Nelson. Nelson, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Are you there, Nelson?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This show has taught me so much things. One of the things that Roman was speaking about, I think, was about his son showing up as an orb. I had a similar experience. Does he use surveillance cameras around his home? Because this is how I got images of my dog, Charlie. These images would show like an orb, like three orbs or so. And then all of a sudden, the next image would show him in full form and so much details. And I've shared it with other, like my friends, and they all tell me that looks like my dog. It would show him for a moment and looking at the bed, for example, and then he would go upwards and then disappear. And then next thing I know, I see laser lights going through around the room, like he's flying around the room. And then in another image, I saw him in midair, like lying down and facing the cabinet. Later on, like weeks later, I found out why he was laying there. He was looking at his old treat behind the cabinet that had fallen in there. And
that's something, huh?
Yeah, so, and he still communicates with me. He in two occasions, like mornings, I would ask him if he was there to beat the Bluetooth phone. And in a matter of seconds, he responded with like two beeps. And then another evening, I asked him, and he beat them like nonstop in a matter of seconds. 2 days ago, while I was watching a movie on TV, it beat one time for no reason. And I thought, wow. And then the movie I was watching, like in 2 minutes later, it said, look for a sign. And I was like shocked because that day was 1-11 at 2022. And I noticed a pattern with his signs. They're like patterns with numbers. And I read Laura Lynn Jackson's book about a boy.
Yes, numbers can be signs as well.
Like numbers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I asked him, is Caleb involved in your spiritual advancements and all that? I never got an answer from that, but my friend who is psychic told me that I'm psychic. I didn't believe him. And one day I was speaking to my sister who was having a real hard time. All of a sudden, her husband showed up in my mind saying a phrase to her. And he said, I love you. And I told her, is there any significance for that? Because it's just coming inside of my head. And I know I didn't think that. And she said, oh, he used to tell me, I love you every day. And I'm always asking him, why do you say that? Because I don't know, because in her culture, in our culture, it's not normal to say that every day. And my brother-in-law still sends me messages, but then they're not, I'm not asking for them. They just come through. But when I'm trying to communicate also with my dog, Charlie, the only way I communicate with him is through a beeping of the Bluetooth phone. I haven't had those verbal messages like from my brother-in-law. Is there a way where I can actually, maybe because he communicated without verbal messages while he was alive, that this is how he found that he could communicate with me?
Yeah, so
and
you're talking
the way,
about the spirit of an animal versus the spirit of a person. So the communication will be different because the dog couldn't speak English, you know, couldn't speak a language. Animals communicate telepathically. And so even from spirit, that's really like a telepathic communication. We connect with spirit. It's mind-to-mind communication. So you're communicating with the energy of your dog and his energy, his mind, you know, his memories, his thoughts, just like a person. But a lot of times when I do readings, animals will come through with specific evidence sometimes about their life or their passing or, you know, description of what they look like or what kind of dog they were. And they're often accompanied by loved ones, because they want to say, you know, I'm not alone. I'm okay. I'm with, you know, Uncle Sam on the other side or something, you know, you know, that I was there when he made the transition or vice versa. A lot of times I get those kind of messages from animals.
With my dog, he suffered from liver shunt. So like for 4 years, 2 months, he suffered from it. He couldn't eat no more foods. You had to put him on medications.
He
died a tragic death. Yeah, he had encephalopathy where his brain swelling constantly. But he survived those situations. It was heartbreaking each time, but it was very hard to watch him suffer. But the doctor at the hospital, the doctor tried to do everything she could to keep him alive. At some times, I wonder if maybe his suffering was not worth it. That we even tried surgery and all that, and that didn't work. And I'm kind of wondering
if you did your best.
That is his
full plan. You did the best you can for Charlie. You did the best you could to keep him alive, but give him some sort of quality of life. And you know, I'm sure that he felt that he couldn't have that, and it was time for his time to go. But you know, I don't think you wasted time or energy trying to help him. Absolutely not. And our animals appreciate that, you know, just like a human does. They just may not have a human form of expression, just like they don't have a human form of expression from spirit, but they're very much like
greatly
little people,
show appreciation.
You know?
In life, he showed a lot of appreciation. And when he died on Mother's Day. And he left, like you guys talked about, an upward. He sent me a wedding ring. He died on Mother's Day, and then near the kennel where we transported him to the hospital, there was a wedding ring, a gold band, and no one owned it. And I'm wondering where it came from. And I know it was from him because there was, I think, a link between Mother's Day and that ring. So, like you said, we can't really know why. How they're able to teleport objects like that.
Right.
Well, Nelson, thank you very much for your call. I really, really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
It's interesting to get a perspective.
Thank you, guys.
An animal perspective. So, yeah, have a nice evening. Wish you all the best.
You too. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, wow. So, hey, the show is almost over. We didn't even get to our questions yet from our readers. For our listeners. So I saw this one that really, you know, I want to start off with this one. It was fourth on the list, but this one, it really touched me. So I'll just read it for you. Okay, here we go. I lost my 19-year-old daughter, Faith, in a routine surgery on May 7th, 2021. I've been exploring, albeit desperately, the idea of connecting with the other side and her spirit in particular, and wonder what advice you'd offer to those of us who don't have the gift of mediumship, but so want to continue our relationship/connections with loved ones who've passed on. Are there specific practices or habits we should work on?
That's a good question.
And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for that person that wrote that. I know how that feels.
Sure. That's, you know, very tragic loss, especially very unexpected in that situation. So it's very difficult when it's and loss is difficult, and it's even more difficult when it's unexpected. I mean, that's just what I have experienced with people. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that we all have, when people say the gift, when they call psychic ability or mediumistic ability a gift, we all have the gift. Like some people may have it more than others, a stronger gift or a more developed gift, but we all have the gift. And the way that anyone can really experience connecting with loved ones past is just sit quietly and talk to them. Or you can even talk to them out loud. Or like the first caller mentioned, she looks at pictures. She likes to talk to her mom looking at pictures. You know, that's another way. We can hold an object. Maybe that they left to us a piece of jewelry that has their energy in it, or an article of clothing maybe that we wear. And we may feel their presence more because we have that object. It may feel like we can feel them more, or that we feel them more around us because we have their objects or their belongings around us. I just think that we have to kind of let go of the inner skeptic and just trust that if we believe, we will receive. I think it's very hard to sometimes get the left brain to shut off a bit so we can open the right brain more, like through meditation, and receive things that may not make logical sense to us.
Yeah.
I also suggest joining a group, like a meditation group, or just sitting quietly at home. We have them on Zoom now too, so you don't even have to leave your house. But there's many ways that you can make connections with loved ones. It's all, no matter where you are, you don't have to be at their gravesite or anything like that. You don't have to visit them.
No, they're never there anyways. They're not there.
They're not. That's right. They're all around us. You know, their energy is very expansive. They can be in different places. They could be with a sibling on the same night that they're with you. Or they could be maybe doing something, have one foot on the other side and one foot here, as I say. I feel like spirit side of life is like a revolving turnstile, that they can see what's going on here because they are still connected with their loved ones here through the energy of love, but yet they're also in a different place or a different energy, a space, a dimension, however you want to look at it, where they're also progressing on their own spiritual journey, and they're connecting with loved ones that passed before them, and they're working on maybe to see what they could have changed in this life, which is, knowing that the healing can go on even after someone passes away. They can still come through in a reading and bring healing to their loved ones, which is really profound and amazing.
Now, this person, if this faith crossed over on May 7, 2021, that's only about 9 months ago. So, I mean, this parent is still obviously, in the throes of grief. It hasn't been a long time. So that could be a blocker to receiving signs as well.
It can be sometimes, yeah. It can work the opposite way too. Sometimes right after passing is when we experience some of the most strongest signs. And, it's not like if you don't experience them right away, you're never going to experience them. I've had, readings where people never came through, and then 20 years later, they all of a sudden they've come through. So, there's no time space continuum. And yes, it is difficult to really do anything when you're in a deep state of grief. I think your mind is just really not in the state of mind maybe to have a reading until you feel you're ready for it, or make a connection necessary until you really feel like you're ready to do it. There's no rush to do anything. You have to go with how you're feeling, and everybody's different, of course, because everybody experiences grief and loss differently.
Yeah. But what I would recommend, and it helped me a lot, is educating yourself. Okay. That you have the power to do. Now there are websites out there. I mean, for example, the Forever Family Foundation website is very rich with all kinds of information about the afterlife and spirituality. And another thing that I would recommend for all our listeners is the weekly reports from Victor and Wendy Zammit, Z-A-M-I-T. Just Google that name, look for the Friday After Reports. You just sign up, it's free, and boom, every Friday you get a link. And that link takes you to all these fascinating videos of mediums and spiritual practices and examples, real life examples of people, all kinds of spiritual things. It's a plethora of endless. It's amazing.
There's a lot of information out there. It's very easily accessible now. You don't have to go to a metaphysical bookstore and buy a book. You can, download things online and Kindle and electronically. So yes, there is definitely, I agree, Roman, there is a wealth of information out there, but it's also important, like you said, to go to the right sources. And the source that you mentioned, I know, is a very trustworthy source. So I would recommend that as well. So
there's another radio blog called Skeptico, and it's really from a scientific point of view that this guy, his name is Alex Tsakiris. He's amazing. From a very scientific point, this guy argues against non-believers and runs circles around them with actual proof and stuff like that. It's amazing to listen to him. He's got a podcast called Skeptical, Skeptiko. check it out. It's really, really good.
We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really amazing stuff. I mean, he deals in a lot of stuff. Not only he deals in the paranormal, UFOs, but I mean, a lot of his topics are dedicated to spirituality and the afterlife. Mm-hmm. So he's really, really interesting.
And there's so much out there. There really is. Yeah. There's so much that, you know, seek and you shall find is what I say. And it's so true, though, you know. And sometimes when we, well, when we go through a loss, then we become spiritual seekers. A lot of people are not interested in knowing about the afterlife or never found themselves even wondering about it too much. But when they lose a loved one, it can change your whole life, right?
Yep, yeah, it sure did. Absolutely.
And it was me too, but it was with my dog, which got me into this. And my dog, I had a miracle happen when the vets told me she was going to pass at 6 and a half, and she lived till 12 and a half years old. And that was what set me on my path, because I had very profound experiences with angels visiting and spirits and all that, which will be in my book at some point when it's released this year, hopefully. But I have a lot of, you know, experiences I've had with that, with animals too, and people. And it is a profound, it just makes you, it gives you the thirst to want to learn more, to find the answers. You know, even as a medium years, you know, later, I don't have all the answers to the universe. Most people think that psychic mediums do, that they know everything. But, you know, that's not a true statement. Yeah. We're learning constantly, too. You know, we're constantly learning from reading and taking classes, and also from experience doing readings, working with spirit. So, yeah.
Let's get to another question. We still have a little bit of time left. I'll read it. I am curious and, in fact, concerned about spirits that have not crossed over to the other side, but remain attached to a certain place or person or even an object. Some are not even aware that they have died. Others believe they aren't worthy of going into the light. My questions are, 1, are they destined to remain in this limbo forever? 2, will anyone from the light come to help them cross over, or is it up to us on Earth to find and help them? That is a question from Melissa in Michigan. Thank you for your question, Melissa. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my philosophy on that subject about loved ones, you know, need to be guided to the light, or they don't actually transition right away. I don't believe in that. I have never.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great way. It's a great, you know, plot for good movies, you know, paranormal movies. But in the real life, and what we do as mediums, I never get somebody that says, you know, hey, I'm stuck and I need help. You have to call a psychic, a medium, help me, you know, make the transition, or let the person grieving for me, let them let go of grief. And there's all kinds of things that I've heard and read, but are they really true? I don't think so. I think that once we're, from my own philosophy, my own existential experience, is that when we go, we go. And our loved ones are there to help guide us to the other side. They're waiting for us. They know we're going to pass, and they want to comfort us and help us with that transition, make us feel at peace no matter how we pass. So I do not believe that we need to pay people to send loved ones to the light. And I think it's not I don't find it to be true. I can, like I said, I can only gather my own philosophy from my own experiences. What people put in a book is up for discernment by the audience, and people have to decide what they truly believe in and what resonates with their belief system. Because you pick up a different book, it's going to tell you something else.
Yeah. You know what, Joanne? I am 100% in agreement with you on this one. Absolutely true. Let's get to another question.
Yeah, well, there's no, you know, people worry because they're like, they'll read something like that and they'll say, I wonder if my mother, you know, it didn't make it to the other side yet because she was upset because she was dying. And it's a really scary thought for the person that's grieving.
The whole concept of purgatory is based on that.
Exactly.
Give money to the church so your Uncle Vito will go to heaven.
Right. Don't send, pay for your sins, all that. Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. It's not the way. I don't think it's the way it really is. I think it's you know, rules by religion or order that say this is that and that's that. But is it truth to it? Probably not. The truth is in your own experience.
Yeah. And that's a very good question, because it brought up a good point, you know, and I'm glad we addressed that point. That's really, really good point.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a, we got time, I think, for one more question. Asking for signs from our departed family, is this a thing that requires a lot of energy on their part? And if you don't get a sign, which I haven't, is there a particular way it needs to be asked for, i.e. thinking it, saying out loud, picturing it or in mind or some other way? So that's the question.
So I think, like I said earlier, you can talk quietly in your mind or visualize them in your mind to talk to them and ask them for a sign. I don't think there's a specific decorum for how to communicate. I think what feels right to you. And some people write letters to their loved ones asking for signs. Some people look up in the sky, even though we really know that they're not up there. They're all around us. You know, but whatever you feel makes a connection, I think that's okay, because your loved ones know that you're looking for a sign. And, you know, sometimes when we look too high, we don't see the signs. Sometimes when we have expectations, we don't see the signs. Right. So I always say release expectations and expect the unexpected, because like the gentleman that called before about the coin with the date on it, that's something that wasn't expected for him to reach into his pocket and find that kind of coin that's probably hasn't been in circulation for hundreds of years. And, you know, things like that, you know, happen. And so there's no right or wrong way to ask. There's no way. You just have to send it off with intention and believe it will manifest and it will materialize into something, even if it's when you least expect it or not what you expected as a sign.
That's a great answer. And definitely try to, don't doubt yourself when you do get a sign. Don't, you know, just trust it.
Yeah. And that's really what is patience and trust. Yeah. You know, it's really what it's all about, because the spirit world does not live on our time. You know, they don't have an order of time or time-space continuum like we do. It's different, and they're all energy. They're not in the physical. So they may work, their mechanics of how they communicate are different than our mechanics. And sometimes we just have to kind of just, you know, say, okay, well, you know, they didn't bring me, you know, the whatever sign, the rainbow today, let's say. I've said that before. But, you know, when I was cleaning my desk, I found a penny and it had a date on it, which is their birth date. So what's the chance of that happening? I don't believe in coincidences. And when you don't believe in coincidences, you know that things are happening for a reason. And some may be more significant reasons than others, but I do feel that nothing is really by coincidence. Things happen for a reason. So it helps us to believe and to trust when we can think that way.
Excellent. There is if people want to kind of know what happens on the other side, one of the best books that I've ever read on that, it's a free download. It's called Life in the World Unknown by Anthony Borgia, B-O-R-G-I-A. He's a psychic medium that just took everything down, transcribing by listening to Monsignor Hugh Benson. And Hugh Benson crossed over and related his experience to this medium called Anthony Borgia, who wrote everything down. And it's really a really good, colorful picture of what it's like on the other side, if anybody's interested. And it's a free download. It's a free PDF. When I started reading it, I couldn't stop. I just read the whole thing in one sitting. It was that interesting. So I recommend it to anybody. But you know what, Joanne, we're out of time. Can you believe it?
I know. It goes by so fast all the time, Roman. It really does.
It does. I cannot believe it. And you know what? I cannot wait to hear from you again. I know we'll be.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you again, too.
Yeah, thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for your questions and your calls. And today was a super, super good show. I really enjoyed it. So maybe 2022 is going to be an amazing year.
We certainly hope so, right?
Put
the energy out there and send out prayers out there and hope so. And I hope everybody has a very happy and healthy and love-filled new year.
Thank you. Me too. I concur. What else can I say? Thank you so much for being with us, Joanne, and everybody.
You're welcome. Thank you, Roman. Thank you, everybody.
We'll talk to you next time.